Well, here we are again, finishing up what we started nearly a year ago. It's the church's New Year's Eve, if you will. Next week is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of a new liturgical year. Today we celebrate the 34th and last Sunday of Ordinary Time, the Feast of Christ the King. So what about you? What do you think? Would you like to be a king? Does that sound nice? Getting to do whatever you want? Do you ever say, if I were in charge, I'd... Does royalty sound glamorous to you? The image of a king hasn't been relevant in American society since before the American Revolution. In fact, American protocol forbids women to curtsy and men to bow before kings and queens. It's a little different for me. I'm a Canadian. I still have allegiance to Her Majesty the Queen. Yet on the other hand, the archetype of a king seems to be alive and well in American culture. We have Burger King and Budweiser, the King of Beers. We have the Lion King, and we have Elvis, the King of Rock and Roll. But if you listen closely to the first reading from Ezekiel, Ezekiel doesn't talk about a king, but about a shepherd. In biblical tradition, the king is often described as a shepherd, and in fact, Ezekiel's Ezekiel's words in the first reading are an anticipation of Jesus' parable of the Good Shepherd. Unfortunately, though, during Ezekiel's time, the leaders of Israel were corrupt. And in the verses leading up to this particular reading, those leaders have just gotten one big earful from Ezekiel. Ezekiel tells them that they've been feeding themselves on the lambs they were supposed to feed, that they failed to care for the sick and the weak of the flock, and that their self-indulgence has led them to be unconcerned and watchful for the sheep who strayed, and that they've treated their sheep with violence and cruelty. But guess what? Their time of shepherding is over. God loves his people so much that God seeks them out and brings back those who are lost and heals the injured and the sick. And all this without neglecting the strong and the healthy. And then we go to today's gospel. That gospel, which I just proclaimed, dispels the notion that this feast day is based on fantasy. There's little romanticism associated with giving drink to the thirsty or feeding the hungry. Matthew's gospel today compares the final judgment to a shepherd separating the sheep from the goats. In this parable, the shepherd distinguishes the sheep not by the nice curl in their woolly coats, but by their merciful actions. Whatever you did for one of the least brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So how have we fed the hungry? How have we responded not only through financial appeals and projects, but also to offering ourselves as food for those who hunger for friendship, for a listening ear and heart, perhaps like those in our parish who have been assisting these days in Pachem. Brothers and sisters, are we ready to be a truly Eucharistic people, broken and consumed by our service of others? Do we support those in face-to-face ministry with the homeless and refugees seeking hospitality from oppression and injustice? by becoming more informed about their situation? And do we pray for them? Have we stripped others naked by malicious gossip or failures in confidentiality? Have we left our relationships in the bitter cold rather than clothing them with the warmth of forgiving love? My friends, we are all prisoners, each in our own way, to the reality that is sin. Some of us may minister with great compassion to those who are physically imprisoned, but in everyday life, do we try to lead each other into freedom or lock one another out? Do we care for the sick and visit them, or do they embarrass us, frighten us, or seem to be a waste of our time? According to the gospel, today we shall rise or fall in terms of our responsiveness to the needs of others. It's not a question of what we have done, but rather of what we have failed to do. Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta put today's gospel theme so succinctly when she said, "At the end of life, we will not be judged by how many diplomas we have received, how much money we have made, how many great things we have done. We will be judged by, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was naked and you clothed me. I was homeless and you took me in." Hungry not only for bread, but hungry for love. Naked not only for clothing, but naked of human dignity and respect. Homeless not only for want of a room of bricks, but homeless because of rejection. This is Christ in distressing disguise. When Christ says, "What you do to them, you do to me," he's not using vague poetic symbols. And the interesting part of this gospel passage is that Jesus makes it clear that when one cares for the poor, the naked, the prisoner, the ill, the neglected, he or she serves Christ. What Jesus is asking is something that all of us, as individuals and as nations, can do. We need not be wealthy. We need not be ordained. We need not be nurses or doctors. We need only to be lovers of Christ and to care for the least significant human person in need. The kinds of mercies that Jesus rewards are within the reach of every single one of us. Jesus looks at us and said, "I am the hungry person in the street, weary and underfed. I am the homeless refugee without clothes on her back or food in his stomach. I am the waiting and the anxious parent. I am the nursing home patient, wheelchair bound and alone. I am the confused and abused child, and I am the condemned man alone in a prison cell." This is the face you are to look for. This is the face you are to serve, because it is Christ's face. My friends, curtsies and bows, high tea, and formal receptions are not part of the trappings of the king that we celebrate this day. The hallmark of Jesus' reign is service. Our hearts are dedicated to service. We work in Jesus' name. Our call to service lies in our ability to reach beyond ourselves to bring justice and peace and reconciliation into the lives of everyone. Brothers and sisters, today we celebrate this feast as a means to welcome Christ into every thread and fiber of the fabric of our lives. Christ is King because his life is so intimately bound up with our own. Christ doesn't exercise power. Christ is power. Christ doesn't govern the lives of his people because Christ is the life of his people. Christ stands in our midst as a shepherd, keeping his sheep in view. Christ's concern is as much for those who are weak as for those who are strong. Christ calls us to bring back the strays, to bandage the wounded, and to make the weak strong. My friends, Christ calls each of us to a careful concern for the way we build our lives today, a careful concern for all the people that fill those lives, because whatever we do to one of them, we do to Christ. Amen.